Blog Talk Radio.
No reason, I don't get service up in this damn house. You want those red chairs? No, I ain't had time for that. I didn't have time for that. The show's already started.
We'll be right back.
all in trouble again. E-O-T-M. Red one, T and me. We know, what up? LeBron is the truest. On the move with entrepreneurs. More than half of what you see. Like Carla B and her bachelor's degree. Refuse to give the devil a chance to put us under. From Bronx, New York, to Rancho Cucamonga. Mocha D, Sweet D, say too. Ronnie McAllister, they will upgrade you. Properties unique and fly. Depending on your credit, the rent, lease, or buy. Blog talk, they let the divas speak. On the air like 7 days a week. With trailblazing heat from head of Memphis. Media networks with various interests. Callers official with her own Ning account. A trip to the top of the world, the bold thing to mount. But she gon' get it in, no conspiracy to win. Glance through my eyes, watch reality begin. Let it start fast, wind up holding an art class. Download and let it explode in a podcast. All them other shows are less competitive. So respect you, better give through your woofers and receivers. These ladies stunt like divas, whether pumps or sneakers, on a bunch of features. The hate is worse than the shot in the dark, regardless if it's Prospect Ave or Hopkins Park. You understand, time to oversee. Who else can let you host your own live show for free? If it's hot, you know it's me. Michael Jackson, rest in peace. E-O-T-M. Y'all know what it is.
Oh,
Hey, hey, family, welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Hey, for all you all that wondering why it was such a long prelude to the show, I had to get the daggone blog room open, so it's open. With that being said, I want to welcome everybody to the show. As always, I like to thank you for your time. You know why? Especially on a Friday night. You know, time is the most valuable thing that you can offer anybody. And, you know, you guys decided that you wanted to tune into my show. You wanted to listen to what I had to say about the topic on the table tonight, about the topics on the table tonight. But you guys are here with me. So, you know, I appreciate that to no avail. I want to send my normal acknowledgments out to the EOTM family. Those folks on the West Coast, up to and including Carla B., who's now part of the West Coast Connection. Jimmy, my man, Queen G. Jimmy Baker, of course, is who I was talking about, my man. And Queen G. Also, I want to send shouts out to Q, the newest addition to the family. And, of course, Ron and Mother Jenkins here in the Atlanta area with Don EOTM Adams. Show information, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Studio call-in line for tonight, as always, is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say it again, 718-664-6543. My personal email address is donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. All right, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. And again, the blog room is open. And as always, I want to send shouts out to our family that's out in the overseas. I'm talking about our family in the New Zealand area. I'm talking about our family that's in the UK. That's right, I did say the UK. I'm talking about family that's in Australia and Jamaica. And I'm hoping that the Jamaican family is going to connect in tonight because, and not to say that Jamaicans are prone to more violence than others, but tonight's topic is about domestic violence. And we're going to be talking about chemical dependency later on in the show as well. But domestic violence is going to take the top of the hour. And before we get started with it, though, family, I want to put this out there that this all of my shows are rated M for mature. So I say that because I want everyone to understand that my thoughts and opinions are my own. They're not necessarily connected with EOTM or shared with the other hosts. Basically, what I'm saying is this. Whatever I say, I say. I get paid to say what I say because that's who I am. Hold me accountable, but not EOTM. With that being said, family, you know, let's enjoy the show, and let's get this thing cranked up. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to get right into it so that we can go straight to the domestic violence. And, family, I want to put some startling statistics. Y'all know I love statistics. I want to put some startling statistics out there about domestic violence and what's actually going on with domestic violence. It's on the rise. You know, and I'm going to tell y'all something right now. For those of you who don't know, that when the economy gets bad, domestic violence goes, the accounts or the incidents of domestic violence goes up. In other words, people don't have jobs, they don't have money, times get hard, people start fighting. You know, it happens. It happened back in the Great Recession. It's happening now. It's a fact. You know, we'll talk about it tonight, all right? So stick with us, family. We'll be right back. You listen to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're going to chop it up about domestic violence. Where are we with this thing, family? Let's run. I'm
tune in to JEOTM, Junior Entrepreneurs on the Move radio show, hosted each week by...
Welcome to the Junior Entrepreneurs on the Move show. I'm your host, Jerry, and I have my sidekick, Spidey Boy, with me here tonight.
How dare you?
Just kidding.
Yes, sir, I am always extremely happy to be back with you on JEOTM Radio.
Be sure to check out JEOTMClub.com for more information. And remember,
a business is kids' play.
my woman. Oh, no, no. We can't even stand waiting by the phone. But we do the same shit.
Oh, my God. Yes, sir. Way to say it, Tank. Way to say it. All right, family, we're back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we are talking about domestic violence. Here's a question. Do you recognize when you're being abused? A lot of y'all are probably saying yes. Some of y'all are saying, well, I think. Some of y'all are saying, well, don't know, period. Well, let me read something to you, family. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power or control over an intimate partner. This abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economical, sociological, or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behaviors that frighten, intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone. Family, domestic violence can happen to anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, religion, or gender. It can happen to couples who are married, living together, or just dating. Domestic violence affects people of all socioethnic backgrounds and educational levels. Tonight, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about domestic violence. A lot of folks say, yeah, you know, and I asked the question starting out at the top of the show, do you recognize when you're being abused? Okay? Most people, when they think about domestic violence, they think about the fact that women are being abused or women are being manipulated or controlled or being, you know, attacked by a man or someone else, because women are generally and historically considered to be the weaker sex. Well, guess what, family? It happens on both ends of the spectrum. Men are being abused as well as women. Unfortunately, there are more women being abused than there are men, but yet and still it happens on both ends of the spectrum. Let me say this to you, family. I love statistics, and this is very much a statistical show. But the number to call in tonight, 718-664-6543. You know, I want to put that out there for those of you who want to call in or comment. And the chat room is open, and I am in the chat room tonight as well, family. I am the Queens of Radio in the chat room. AJ, I see you in there, so I'm waiting on some other family to get in there as well, but I do see you in the chat room. You know, but I want to put this out there. If there's anyone who wants to call in and share their story, you don't have to give your name and tell us exactly who you are. But, you know, call in and share your story, because that's what this show is about. Because, you know, we want to enlighten folks about domestic violence. To me, domestic violence is like a cancer. It's a debilitating situation. You know, been there, done that. We all have made some silly mistakes in our life. I won't say that I've been an abusive person. I never have been, but I've been in situations where domestic violence has existed on both my part and on the part of the person that I was with. And some people may call it a mutually combative situation, but nevertheless, by the definition that I read out at the top of the show, it's domestic violence. You know, and it doesn't have to always instigate with the man. So let's leave it at that. All right. You may be in an emotionally abusive relationship with your partner. If your partner calls you names, insults you, or emotionally criticizes you, does not trust you, and acts jealous or possessive, tries to isolate you from family and friends, monitors where you go, who you call, and who you spend time with, does not want you to work. Family, these are signs of abusers. This is a sign that this is what I'm reading now, family, is a sign that you are in an emotionally abusive relationship. Controls finances or refuses to share money with you. Punishes you by withholding affection. Expects you to ask permission. Threatens to hurt you, the children, the family, or your pets, and humiliates you in any way. Okay? That's serious. That's serious business, family. And, you know, the thing about domestic violence is that, you know, what it causes people to have to do is to really look down, deep down into who they are. Because a lot of people will say, I'm not being abused. I'm not being abused. I'm not being abused. Or, you know, they're in a pattern or a mindset of denial about the domestic violence. Then there are some people who just simply do not recognize it because they're not educated in that area or in that arena. They don't know. They just simply don't think of domestic violence as someone trying to manipulate, control them, from the standpoint of keeping affection from them. They just feel like you're just being a butthole. Well, wrong answer. That's a form of emotional abuse, which falls into the category of domestic violence. Let's press it on. You may be here's some good examples of a physically abusive relationship if your partner has ever damaged property with anger, thrown objects, punched walls, kicked doors, etc., pushed, slapped, bitten, kicked, or choked you, abandoned you in a dangerous or unfamiliar place, scared you by driving recklessly, used a weapon to threaten you, forced you to leave your home, trapped you in your home or kept you from leaving, preventing you from calling the police or seeking medical attention, hurt your children, or used physical force in sexual situations. Yeah, I know I heard kinky things, but, you know, family, let's just keep it real. We know the difference between kinky and straight-up just physical force in sexual situations. And here's another one, family. You may be in a sexually abusive relationship if your partner views women as objects or believes in rigid gender roles, accuses you of cheating, or is often jealous of your outside relationships, wants you to dress in a sexual way, insults you in sexual ways or calls you sexual names, has ever forced or manipulated you into having sex or performing sexual acts, held you down during sex, demanded sex when you were sick, tired, or after beating, hurt you with weapons or objects during sex, involved other people in sexual activities with you, ignored your feelings regarding sex. Now, I want to say this about some of the things I just read. Now, I know, family, there's some grown folks out there who enjoy some of those things that I just mentioned, you know, the slapping, other parties participating, the name-calling, sort of the rough play. You know, some people want to get beat when they, you know, right before they get there, do whatever they're going to do or while they're doing it. And that's okay. I don't think that falls in line with that. I'm talking about situations where you have people, grown people, who are not necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for, saying to someone, oh, by the way, Tom, I want you to beat me before you do X, Y, and Z to me. No, that doesn't count. I'm talking about folks who are true victims because, you know, I think what has happened in our society that kind of takes away from the term domestic violence is that people have gotten to a point where they are deciding that, you know, everything and anything that they don't appreciate is domestic violence. And, you know, it's just like, you know, anything else. When you overuse something, you void it out. But, you know, the true definition of domestic violence is very clear. And, family, we need to learn how to recognize it and then, most importantly, how to deal with it. AJ, you're the only person in the chat room right about now. AJ says that the definite signs of abuse, and AJ's saying that it's worse when they are in denial, and financial abuse is included as well. Very well said. I think we did mention financial abuse. You know, we did mention that. That financial abuse, if somebody holds strings over your head and says, hey, I'm not going to give you this unless you do this, that's a form of not only abuse, but it's manipulation, family. And we've had plenty of shows here on the Don Adams Talk Show, you know, with about manipulation, okay? And that's a form of that, all right? Right now, family, we're talking about domestic violence, and I'm putting some statistics out there for you, as always. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. I want to play my favorite commercial, too. I like this guy. You know, I like this commercial in particular for this show because, like I said at the top of the show, family, when you have domestic violence issues, history has shown that domestic violence goes up on the rise when economic times are hard. That's not to say that it's justifiable, but that's to say that there is a definite connection with economic times, with finances, and someone's willingness to participate in negative behavior such as domestic violence. So stick with us, family. We'll be right back, and we're going to continue to chop it up about domestic violence. I want to throw some startling statistics out there for you all, as always. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. When we come back, family, I want you all to know the number to call in is 718-664-6543. And also, family, tonight is call in and shout your business out night on Friday nights. It's always here. So we'll be right back.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Tumbling dice.
That's right.
Seven on a bed.
Rise in the morning and face the sunlight. You bounce on my love and it's airtight. Sometimes I'm curious on how you feel when you're screaming out my name. Is it really for reality? Originality, my mentality. Explore every possibility. Let's get down. Shorty, time will reveal. The only true test is pain. You know the deal. Love appears like bright lights in the night sky. Disappears in the blink of a teary eye. That's why I'm being caught up in your love. You are incredible. Your love is a drug.
Lovely lady.
AJ, what's up, AJ? I'm gonna send mad shouts out to you. I know you want to call in, baby, but you're scared, and it's okay. I need for you to put your fear to the side, and I need for you to call in and chop it up with Dr. Don EOTM Adams. I got something for you, girl. We're gonna get you past all that. Let me give you the number, AJ. I'm giving you an Atlanta number. It's 718-664-6543. We're talking about domestic violence. And AJ's got a lot of things to say in the blog room, and I think she should call in and share it with the family and let us know. How about that, AJ? How about that? All right, family, let's keep this thing moving. We're talking about domestic violence. Here's a question. Who often commits domestic violence? Who does it most often? Overwhelmingly, it's heterosexual men in relationships. However, if we refer just to the act of hitting or physically hurting another person, research and statistics show that from the 1980s up until the early 1990s, women are as likely or more likely than to hit men or to physically harm a partner. That number in the women's, in the female group, has increased from the 1980s up until the 1990s. It shows that women are becoming more and more violent. But what is not well explained is many of these women who strike out are responding to a violent situation which was already created or existing coming from the male in that relationship. I think we need to understand, on average, men are much larger and better trained to physically defend themselves than women are, and therefore do not have the same reaction to violence directed at them. This is very important and when it comes to battering, which for a lot of men is hard to understand. It's certainly just as wrong for a woman to hit a man as for a man is to hit a woman. It's simply wrong. And no one should have to tolerate that. However, in comparison, a man's reaction to a woman's violence is usually far less emotionally traumatic than a woman's reaction to a man's violent acts. The emotional reaction for men being hit by women is usually one of annoyance, anger, or self-righteousness. The male might think she's got a lot of nerve. Or who does she think she is, laying her hands on me, in contrast to the reaction for women as far as traumatic, which basically what I'm saying, fam, is that women are more traumatic with it as far as the response. With that being said, it happens, family. A lot of folks are shaking their head, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But guess what? Guess what? At the end of the day, it happens. To point out an important statistic for women, in 1994, domestic violence was the leading cause of injury to women, causing more injuries than muggings, strange rapes, or car accidents combined. What I'm saying is, with all these different things, with muggings, rapes, car accidents, all these things combined, as of 1994, domestic violence was the number one cause of injury, citing more accounts of domestic violence than all of those things combined. What are we going? What are we saying? There are no such figures like that for men. So that says a lot about the domestic violence issues. I'm waiting on you, AJ, to call in. I'm going to call you out, AJ. The number to call in is 718-664-6543. And I want to hear your story, AJ. I want you to call in and talk to us about what's going on with your story, all right? Not putting you on blast, but I'm just trying to get you out there. I know you got a lot to say. All right, let's keep it moving, family, with the statistics on domestic violence. Here's another question. Don't lesbian or gay people batter too? Because a lot of people say, well, it's always the man and the woman, this and that. Well, let's talk about it. Do lesbian and gay people batter as well? Yes, is the answer to that question. In fact, in recent years, studies have shown there are much higher numbers than expected in lesbian and gay relationships where domestic violence is concerned. There is a slightly different dynamic in these relationships than in heterosexual relationships. The lesbian and gay battering situations often involve the inability to deal with the frustrations and burdens of living in a homophobic society.
There are also similar issues present in heterosexual marriages, children, money, things like that. But these issues become an even greater problem when gay couples, because they do not have as much support from family or friends during these rough times. In fact, some families don't even know that their children are in a gay relationship. These societal factors often times contribute along with other common factors with growing up in a violent home, self-hatred, poor impulse control. People feel like, you know what? Hey, gay people don't fight. You know, they don't have the same types of issues. Yes, they do. Doesn't matter the gender. It is what it is. All right, let's see what we got to call here. 904, you're on the air with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Hey, Don, it's AJ.
Oh, my God. I called her out and she came out. Hello, AJ. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm, first of all, thank you for calling in. Second of all, I was reading your comments in the chat room, and you seem to have a lot to want to share with the family. So with that being said, you know, do you want to tell us your situation, your story, or do you want to tell us about a situation or a story?
I can tell you my story.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's my life. You know, let me tell y'all something. It's going to always take the women to bring us through this mess because they're going to always need to let the women are the true leaders in our society. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm looking for some of you brothers out there who've been abused to call in later on the show. But go ahead, AJ.
Thank you, Don. First of all, I did want to comment on a statement you made that, you know, you have a rising in females that are abusers as well. My incident occurred about 7 years ago with my husband, now ex-husband. I seen no signs prior to the marriage, but it was the first day of our marriage. As soon as we said I do, I seen a change in him, and I seen controlling signs of him then. So of course I went up. Okay, let me see what's going on with this. To make a long story short, 4 months into our marriage was the first time he put his hands on me in the lab. I didn't see it coming. But I didn't stick around to say, okay, let's work it out or what the problem is, because I've always been told once your partner hits you, it's in them to hit you again. And I was raised on that. And I just followed that, and I quickly divorced him. And his response was he could not believe that I divorced him. And my response to him, I said, no, you initiated the divorce when you put your hands on me. I just finalized it.
Mm-mm. That was powerful.
You know, but Don, the thing about it is, you know, it's deeper than that. You know, law enforcement was involved because when he initially hit me, you know, my children were in the home and my oldest child called the police. It took them too long to come, and I got tired of my head hitting the wall. And my daughter came in to try to defend me. My young daughter was 10 years old at the time, and he decided he wanted to shove her. And when he hit my daughter, it was over. So make a long story short, by the time the police got here, I'm the one that called for help, but I'm the one that went downtown because by the time they got here, he had all the marks on him. And that's what they go by, what marks are left on the person. So I had a double whammy. You know, I woke up that morning, got my bind beat, defended myself, and went to jail.
That's interesting. You know, and that happens quite a bit. I mean, and I think that goes both ways, with men and with women. I've seen women set men up for the fall, and I've seen men set women up for the fall. You know, and that's tragic. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I think that the overall viewpoint of domestic violence, in my personal opinion, is that when you're dealing with violence in domestic situations, and as I said before, you know, I've been in a bad situation, you know, as far as relationships are concerned, fighting with my better half, the whole nine. I was never abusive towards her. We fought, you know, a lot, like cats and dogs.
Right.
But, you know, here's my take on it, is that when you're in a situation where you've got someone who in turn gets physical over disagreements, gets abusive or however it comes at you, you're dealing with someone who has an inability to process things correctly. They have an inability to deal with the reality of situations that are put on the table. They have an inability to be accepting of things that deal with other people's opinions, personal feelings and so forth and so on. You're dealing with someone who's absolutely, in my opinion, a control freak, and they have no other way of dealing with situations, you know, other than, you know, striking out. And that's what happens with that. Okay? What do you think about that?
I agree with everything you said, and it's so true. It is so true because during the divorce process, a lot of what you just said came out on his behalf, a lot of it. So I totally agree with that. I lived it. I lived it, so I know.
Well, come here. Yeah. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. You know, I like to put out statistics, you know, and I want to put something out there for the family. Approximately 1.3 million women, that's, you know, about 1.3 million women and 835,000 men are physically assaulted by an intimate partner annually in the United States. And that's a very recent statistic that was put out by the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you, family. You know, when I bring out statistics like that, I'm also wanting to put out there that a lot of times these numbers, if whatever these numbers are that I'm reading, please trust and understand that they are probably higher than that, because we also have to take into account that some people don't even call in and report their incidents to the police because of shame, fear, or because they are afraid of retaliation for reporting the incident. So a lot of these incidents go unreported. Intimate partner violence made up 20% of all non-fatal violent crimes experienced by women as late as 2001. Okay? That's amazing. That's also by the U.S. Department of Justice. Here's another one, family. Intimate partners committed 3% of non-fatal violence against men. All right? Intimate partners committed 3% of the non-fatal violence against men. And I think in that particular statistic, they're including the homosexual as well as the heterosexual relationships that are out there, just using the target as men in general. What do you think about that, AJ?
Everything you said, I concur. Everything you're saying, and it's true. I did want to piggyback on what you said earlier. The numbers are much higher now, and they're steadily rising.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic violence is steadily rising, especially, like you said earlier, with the economic, you know, times that we have going on. The stress and the unemployment that it leads to, the stress and the domestic violence in the home and whatever else that may be going on.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, and I you mentioned something earlier, too, when we were, you know, when we were in a chat room, and something that I had mentioned was that when economic times are hard, the rates of the reports of domestic violence normally go up.
Mm-hmm.
They go up. Let me give another statistic to the family. In the year 2000, 1,247 women and 440 men were killed by an intimate partner. In recent years, this is after the year 2000, in recent years, an intimate partner killed approximately 33% of the women, of female murder victims, and 4% of male murder victims. Now, these are numbers that are coming from the U.S. Department of Justice. Also, access to firearms yields a more than five-fold increase in risk of intimate partner homicide when considering other factors of abuse, according to a recent study, suggesting that abusers who possess guns tend to inflict the most severe abuse on their partners. Interesting information. What do you think about that, AJ?
Very interesting, very. And the sad thing about that is most of the individuals that have the guns that inflict death on the other person, they're usually prior convicted felons, so they shouldn't have the gun.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to say this to you. You know, something that you mentioned about your situation was very interesting to me. You know, you said that you saw, now you acknowledged that you saw some signs that there may have been some things going on with this person before you married him, correct?
No, I saw signs
you did.
The day we got married.
The day you got married. Okay, how long did you date him before you married him?
We were together 3 years.
And in that 3 year period, there was nothing that there was no indication, no issues, no incidents that would lead you to believe that this person had the propensity to become violent with you.
Don, I've gone back over that so many times, and I look, I'm like, what did I miss? You know, did I miss something? Did I overlook something? And it was like he became Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde overnight. I was like, wow. I mean, I was in awe. I couldn't believe it because I didn't see no sign of it.
Wow. Interesting. You know, we're talking about domestic violence tonight, family. You know, and I've got AJ on the line with me, and she's very forthcoming and very upright about her personal situation as far as domestic violence. You know, and I know that you shared some information earlier with us, AJ, about situations and cases that you sound as though you're familiar with and knowing about. And I don't want to harp on your situation per se, and highlight you like that in a negative way, because I know that it certainly was difficult enough for you to have gone through it. But I want to ask you this. In knowing what you've been through versus what you do know and how you've seen other people go through, let me ask you this. What do you think is the most common thread when it comes to domestic violence? I have a general idea of what it is, but I ask you, what do you think it may be, the most common thread? In other words, listen to the victims and the folks that you are most familiar with, and yourself included. What do you think was the most common thing that you all had in common?
I'll have to say our childhoods that we had together, you know, separate, of course, our childhoods, how our family dynamics are.
Give us some insight on. I mean, what in particular about your childhood?
Basically, what I want to say is the family dynamics, the missing parent in the household. With him, with his mother and father had divorced early. Same thing with mine, divorced early. I really can't pinpoint, but there was a lot of weaknesses there that I did realize afterwards when I was going back to wondering, okay, what brought this on? What made him react the way he did? And we did have a conversation from that point. We did have a conversation later on after the divorce, and he explained to me why he was the way he was. And you mentioned it earlier, usually it's jealousy, low self-esteem, low self-confidence, you know, et cetera, things on that level.
Mm-hmm. So he admitted to those things?
He actually admitted to those things, to where he seen me making strides to better myself. That's when I was in school, obtaining my undergrad. He's military, so he seen me doing things, you know, he seen me with big dreams and things I wanted to do. And according to him, I was the only one that ever encouraged him to better himself, including his family. So I guess he felt that once I got to the top, that I was going to leave him and just forget all about him.
Mm-hmm. So he was threatened by that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Wow. That's very interesting, I mean, I appreciate you sharing that with us. So I take it, you know, and oftentimes what happens in domestic violence situations is that you do have people with those same type of issues that you're talking about, and you have a lopsided view of life. In other words, this person may feel like, you know what, yeah, you are moving ahead beyond and into areas and arenas that I may want to be in, or I wanted to do things, doing things that I wanted to do, but I'm not equipped to do, or I haven't had the opportunity to do. Whatever it may be, and they may feel threatened by the fact, especially in men, they may feel threatened by the fact that, you know what, this woman has the propensity to make more money than I do in a relationship. But you know what, I'm going to say it like this, player. If you're a true player in the game, you know what, at the end of the day, you want your woman to make more money than you. Because you know what, if you're running things the way you need to be running things, if you're handling things the way they need to be handling things, I'm going to tell you like this, that's not going to be an issue for you. I don't, any man out there who feels threatened like that, that is absolutely a red flag for you ladies to know that you are dealing with someone who is not only have experiencing issues now, but they will be experiencing issues with you later. And you don't want that. You know, you definitely don't want that. That's outrageous. Wow, I appreciate you being so forthright and upcoming about your situation. That is amazing. And I'm putting out statistics for the family as we go. Here's another good one, family. Of the females killed with a firearm, almost two-thirds were killed by their intimate partners. Now, the number of females shot and killed by their husband or intimate partner was more than three times higher than the total number murdered by male strangers using all weapons combined in single victim, single offender incidents in 2002. That's interesting because what they're saying once again is that women are out there being assaulted by people every day, strangers. But when it comes to the intimate partners, meaning a husband or just someone that they're dating or seeing, be it a boyfriend or another woman, however that may work out, the intimate partner, they're saying that the number of women killed by an intimate partner outscores, is greater than all of those other numbers combined. That is outrageous. What do you think about that, AJ?
You know what, Don? I'm going to put it out like this. You know, the old saying, if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I'm a firm believer that if your partner tells you or threatens you that he's going to kill you or she's going to kill you, you better believe it. Even more now, today, because you hear about it on the news. You know, the murder-suicide is happening. I mean, every time I turn the news on, I'm hearing something about that. So I really believe that if that person, especially if you have those signs of abuse in a relationship, if they threaten you to tell you that, you better take heed.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny that you said it because I know Mike Basin talks about a lot of that too. He always says things like, "Well, if somebody tells you I love you enough, to, I love you to death, or I love you so much I kill myself or kill you." You know, he's saying, "Look, you know what? That's not a joke. That's not something that's normal, and that's not something that people should be saying to you." And I agree with you. When people tell you things like that, you take them serious. There is no joking when it comes to things like that. You know, statements like that, should we say. You know, and they're telling you outwardly, yeah, you know what? I have the propensity to harm you. I may hurt you. I may decide to do this to you. Mm-hmm. They're telling you that, you know, when they shout those things out, when they put those things out, they are letting you know that they will do that to you. Yeah, absolutely. Lovely one in the chat room is saying that why is it that women receive more time or for killing their spouses, what she's trying to say, or a partner than men receive when they kill the woman? Well, lovely one, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think that women are generally not getting heavier sentences when it comes to things like that. And we'll pull some statistics up to go ahead and support that statement. But I think that, as generally speaking, you know, women go to jail for abuse, not necessarily at a longer rate, longer sentence than men do, but I think what we're looking at is that society is in a paradigm, in a shift, where they're actually getting to a point where they're saying, okay, you know what, women are becoming more violent. And, you know, society, you know, used to always look to women as a weaker or the softer sex. But the more and more they are becoming violent, and they are doing things to harm men, whether it's black, white, or whatever you are. And I think they're taking a hard line approach to that. Follow what I'm saying? That's what it kind of sounds like, loving one. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Family, you're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're talking about domestic violence. You know, serious topic, and I'm putting out some statistics for you, family, some things that I feel like, you know what, we all need to know. And you know something, I am so happy tonight because we got our family back in Australia. She's in the chat room with us, and I know she's listening. She's been cheating on me. but that's okay. I'm going to forgive you. And you know what else I'm going to do for you? I'm going to play something specially for you, Jam Time, because you know what? Guess what? Everybody loves me. But stick with us, AJ. We'll be right back, okay?
out there who's perfect for me. Somebody who's gonna love me for me. That's what I'm talking about. A relationship, a commitment, something to live for.
Maybe if you take your time.
Time has been taken and time has been spent. Now it's time for the lover to score. Score.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. AJ, I know you're still on the line. I know you just mentioned that you may have to go shortly. Before you go, are there any other comments that you want to add or take away from on the topic that we're discussing, which is domestic violence? I'll give you that opportunity.
Just be aware. You know, we always say be aware of your surroundings, be aware of the relationship, and always realize you have to love yourself first before you can expect anyone else to love you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very powerful. And I want to thank you again for calling in and sounding your and sharing with your personal story on domestic violence. And I'm glad that you had the wherewithal and, most importantly, the initiative to make a change in your situation, because I'm sure it was difficult to make that choice, as it is for most people that are abused. But with that being said, you know, thank you again for calling into the show and sharing with us. And feel free to call in anytime. Even if you want to call back later on in the show, feel free to do so. All right?
Done. It was not hard for me to make that decision. It was very easy. I do agree. For some people, it is hard. It is hard based on their background or whatever it may be. But for me, it was not hard at all. It took one time, and it was it.
Wow. So that was enough for you to hear the knock at the door, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it.
Wow, and that's something. Well, you know what? Either way, AJ, you know what? We appreciate you. And for the rest of you all who are out there who may want to call in and share your particular story, the number to call in, 718-664-6543. We're talking about domestic violence, family, domestic violence. And we want to thank AJ for coming in and tuning in and calling in and sharing her particular story with us. You have a good night, AJ.
All right, you too.
All right. Wow, family, powerful story, powerful story. She said it was easy for her because, you know what, and she sounds like a strong, or truly strong woman in her own right. But with that being said, family, you know, hey, I want to continue to put, oh, Jam Time, you know what, I see what you're writing in there, and you know what, we're going to have to talk about this offline. We're going to have to discuss that. All right, talk about Otis Williams. All right, let me put out some more statistics for the family because you all know I love these things, right, these numbers. These numbers mean that these things have already happened. And, you know, it lets you know what's going to happen. It gives you an idea. With that being said, family, check this out. Here's the first cousin to domestic violence, stalking, according to the Stalking Resource Center, because there's now a Stalking Resource Center that is in existence that keeps track of stalking incidents. All right? 1,970 women and 300,990 men are stalked annually in the United States of America. 1 in 12 women and 1 in 45 men will be stalked in their lifetime. All right? 77% of female and 64% of male victims know who their stalkers are. 87% of stalkers are men, 59% of female victims, and 30% of male victims are stalked by an intimate partner. 81% of women stalked by a current or former intimate partner are also physically assaulted by that partner. 31% of women stalked by a current or former intimate partner are also sexually assaulted by that partner. The average duration of stalking is 1.8 years. That's important for y'all to know, family. The average duration, that means that from the time this stalker starts until the time that he finished, it usually lasts 1.8 years. That's a year and a half of your life living in hell because somebody is stalking you. If stalking involves intimate partners, the average duration of stalking increases to 2.2 years. 61% of stalkers made unwanted phone calls. 33% left unwanted letters or items. 29% vandalized property, and 9% killed or threatened to kill a family pet. 28% of female victims and 10% of male victims obtained a protective order. 69% of female victims and 81% of male victims had the protective order violated. So, family, you know, and I enjoy those numbers because I want to say this. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but when we talk about domestic violence, traditionally we think it's always been a woman's issue, a female's issue. But you know what, family, with these numbers on the table now, and I'm not saying that it's not largely a female issue, but what I am saying is this, is that things are equalized, and I think that what's happening is that more and more men are starting to speak out about it. I think women have always been doing the things that they do, whether it's cheating, whether it's manipulation, whether it's stalking, you know, or abuse. It's always been there, but I think the receiving party, especially if it's a male, has been ashamed or in the past just didn't want to report that for whatever reason. But now, today, it's happening, and men are reporting it. Interesting stuff, family. Interesting stuff. Now, for those of you who also want to call in and share your thoughts on this, the number to call in is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say it one more time. 718-664-6543. Putting it out there for you, family, domestic violence, a hot, hot topic. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And, you know, I can't help but say it like this. You know, if I rule the world, well, I won't go that route. I'm going to play something a little bit more soft because we're going to take a break, family. We're going to come back because I need to get in this blog when we get out to some of my family. You know, they've been cheating on me listening to the Otis Williams show, and I'm not happy about that. I don't like that. I don't like to share. I want all my listeners. See, that makes me a potential abuser, something along those lines. Is that right? I want to control everything. Is that typically a trait of an abuser? What do you think, family? You listen to the Don Adams Jr. Show. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. into my eyes and see everything you mean to me. Lady, do you believe? How can I express the way I dream about you night and day? But I didn't prepare a speech. Like a speaker without a speaker. I don't know what to say.
All right, y'all, let's give the Allen Brothers a hand for that selection. We need to move on. Got a call on the line, and we're going to bring this caller in, get some comments. 404-228, you're on the Don Adams Senior Talk Show. Hold your comments.
Hey, Don, what's up?
Nothing much. Stay tuned.
Yes, it is.
Girl, I got it right. I got it right, and I recognize the voice. How are you?
I'm doing great. You actually, this is your first time you actually got my name right.
No, don't beat me up for it. You know what, say too, I'm going to tell you something. I say it all the time. Y'all know I'm bad with names. Now, that is not a secret. Somebody go over and tell me my name is R, and I'm going to say X. I'm sorry. But, you know, I got it right. You know what, you didn't even have to say it this time.
That's what's up.
What's going on? I'm glad to have you. For y'all out there who don't know, family, stay tuned. Is also a host, a person, a radio, one of our personalities, and she does a poetry. Is it a poetry show on that you do, say too?
Actually, it's just a diversity of music show. It plays pop, hip hop, spoken word. It's whatever, and I'm also teaching those that want to learn how to work from home as well. So that's what that's about.
Oh, slick. You know, one of my favorite callers was on your show the other day. His name is Big Man.
Oh, yeah, he told me about you. Yep, he sure did mention you. He said that he's always showing you some love. And I was like, well, that was definitely popping. That's what's up.
Absolutely. So, you know what? Say, too, tonight we're talking about domestic violence, and I've been putting some things out there for the family, but since you called in, I'm gonna leave it up to you. Is there anything that you want to add, take away, or share with us about domestic violence?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is actually one of my favorite topics because I was actually experienced with it. Well, not physically, but my sister was in a domestic violence, and she actually got murdered, like in the process of it. Yeah. But my little insight about, domestic violence is, I mean, like, seriously, if you are in a bad relationship and you are getting beat on, I mean, there is no reason why you should be staying there, like, seriously, because, I mean, at one point in time, them hits is going to turn deadly, and you should really think about you speaking to someone that you can trust. You should definitely try, not even try, you should definitely get away. I don't care how you get away. You can sneak while that person is sleeping and just dip off. And once you dip off, never ever turn back and say, "Oh, I wanna go back because of my children." Especially if there's a child involved, whoever that is doing the hitting will always use that child just to get closer to you. And that's how I feel about that.
Wow. Very interesting that you brought that out like that. You know, I love statistics, family, and I want to share something with you all based upon what she is saying. You know, femicide. Has anyone ever heard of femicide? Femicide is the murder or killing of a woman, femicide. 76% of femicide victims have been stalked by the person who killed them. 67% have been physically abused by their intimate partner. 89% of femicide victims have been physically abused and has been stalked in the 12 months before the murder. Okay,
wow.
Before the murder. 79% of abused femicide victims reported stalking during the same period that they reported abuse. Here's a good one, family. 85% of attempted femicide cases involved at least one episode of stalking within 12 months prior to the attempted femicide. 54% of the femicide victims reported stalking to the police before they were killed by their stalkers. So, you know, and I say that to say this to you, family, you know, right along with what Say 2 is saying, is that when you make a determination, ladies and gentlemen, because it happens for men too, that you are no longer going to receive, accept, and live with or deal with the abuse that you are currently dealing with, when you walk away, walk the hell away. Don't turn your ass back around and go back. Walk the hell away and make it happen. I know it's hard. I know you love them, and I know you think they're going to change. And let me tell y'all something. One of the things that abusers do very well is they apologize. And then they turn right back around and start whooping. And they turn right back around and start whooping on their head. So, you know, at the end of the day, family, don't fall for that okey-doke. Whatever took place in that relationship that caused you to leave, whether you're male or female, just realize that it ain't going to change and it's not going to happen. So, you know, your decision to leave was based upon whatever it was based upon. Make it happen. What do you think about that, Say 2?
Man, I agree with you 110% on that. Like, seriously, I mean, like, for real, that is not considered love. Love does not hurt, for real. Love feels great. Love makes you feel free, and it makes you a better person. Like, you see what I'm saying? It makes you a prettier person, physically and mentally at the same time. And when an abusive person is hitting on you, that abusive person is actually taking away your self-esteem. It is actually taking away your physical beauty. It is taking away your mental strength. So if that is the case, if that's not what's really happening to you, you you need to find a way to get away from that type of environment, especially if there is a child involved. I mean, I don't even care if there is a child involved. You need to think about the child's safety and the child's sake. A child does not want his or her father hitting up on their mother. And you got to think about whether or not if that child is going to be the same way, how is that child looking at you and the father, and whether or not you want that child to be raised in that type of environment. And not only that, but, like, you want to see your child grow up to become a better person. And for you to be getting hit upon, there is no telling when or how that man or woman is going to kill you. I mean, point blank, if you are getting beat up on, it may not be right now, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but you're going to die. If you stay with that person is going to kill you just because of the type of mentality that they have. And most of the time, well, not even most of the time, 100% of the time, abusers or manipulators.
They're manipulators.
Yes, that is what they are 100% of the time, and you don't want that because manipulators make you feel like crap, and they just make you feel look stupid all the time, and that's how I feel about that.
Got a comment on that one, too. Jamtide in the blog room, in the chat room, says that domestic violence isn't just about physical abuse. She says that there are many ways spouses abuse each other, financially, emotionally, and secular. You know, Jamtown, you're right. We mentioned that at the top of the show, and I'll mention that all of those things again as well, but you're absolutely right. You know, when people think about abuse, too often they associate that with physical contact. That's not always the case. There are so many other ways. But, you know, I want to chime back in on what Saytu just mentioned, because this is true, family. I want to say this to support what she's saying. Here's something that I found while she was talking. What causes battering? There is a major piece to battering rooted in our culture. Most battering males have developed a very rigid view of gender roles. Family, that's a red flag. Let me explain that, gender roles. When somebody steps into your life and says, hey, you're the woman or you're the man, this is how you're supposed to be, and this is what I want from you, that's a red flag. You know, the name of the game is to take you as you are and move forward with that. Follow me on this, family. They tend to be sexist in attitudes towards women. Not all batterers, but most. This cultural issue seems to be most consistent among batterers. Now, society trains men to see women in certain disrespectful or objective ways. As a result, many men see women as their possession. Okay, family? If you're dealing with somebody, whether you're male or female, and you start to feel like this person sees you as a possession, your ass is in trouble. You need to think about that. You're not a possession. You're an individual. You're with that person because you agreed to be with that person. It's an agreement, and you have a choice. In other words, guess what? If you moved into a house and you decided you didn't want to be in it because the lease wasn't right or whatever, guess what? You got a right to cancel that lease. Same thing with a relationship. Cancel the lease. Send them back to the factory. Here's something that's true, family. It used to be a time when being married for a woman meant that you were the property of that man. So if that man wanted to rape you, if he wanted to beat you, it was nothing you could do about that. That is how lax domestic violence used to be. You follow me? What do you think about that, Saytu?
Oh, man. That is awesome. How I feel about as far as you just leaving, is that what you're asking me?
How do you feel about the fact that it was not long ago that women were considered property of the man that they were married to? It wasn't that long ago, family. I mean, you know, black men had the right to vote before women ever did. And back in the day, when a woman was married to a man and he whooped her head and he did whatever he wanted to do, cheated on her, called her names, smacked her around, made her cook and clean, that was considered to be his wife, his property. What do you think about that?
How I feel about that. The way I feel about that is basically back in the day, women didn't have any rights, period. Like in a sense, I would say that kind of brought women to have a little bit of low self-esteem in a sense, because like you got to think about it, how women was not considered as taking care of the household as far as paying bills and stuff. So when you're thinking about a man beating her and doing all types of stuff to her, imagine how, I would say, not depressed, but like imagine how less of a person she feels, as if like she has no say-so, or it's like she's a nobody in a sense, I would say. Because like back in the day, we were like already thought of as to be not as strong as men. So now I would think, nowadays, I would think that we as women kind of possess a much stronger value as far as within ourselves.
Yeah, women are proving to be a lot more formidable in the arenas that they were formerly not allowed to participate in today than they ever were. And that's very interesting that you say that. Because I know that, for me to you, say too, I know that you are, you know, heavily involved in the poetry scene. And I know that you are a lover of life. You know, I've met you, I've talked with you some numerous occasions, and I know that you are a lover of life. And when you make the comment that it makes you feel less than what you are, you know, it almost sickens me to know that another person can come along and make anybody, whether it's man or woman, feel like that simply by putting their hands on them or just becoming abusive towards them in that relationship. That's just, you know, that's terrible. But, you know, yeah, absolutely. Here's some more statistics for you, family. And here's some history, some more history on abuse. Battering is what they're calling it here. The implied issue was that she was his. I'm talking about men and women being married. Therefore, husbands could do what they wanted, and wives were expected to cooperate. In most states, these laws have been changed, but it's been a very short time since that has happened. But here's the thing, family. There are still churches today, and most within the last 20 years, that perform ceremonies where the wife must take the oath of love, honor, and obey her husband. Listen to me, family. That's important. Because some people say that because you're supposed to honor and obey me and love me and cherish me, it doesn't matter what I do to you, you are supposed to remain in my home as my wife regardless. Wrong answer, pal. Here's something. Still today, the most common procedure when a person gets married is for a woman to take their husband's name. The logic being is that it is simpler than hyphenating names, adding middle names, and so on. But this is really a remnant of society where women went from their father's house to their husband's house. Women have belonged to themselves. Women never belonged to themselves, but rather to their father or their husband. And that's what a husband's name represented, very much like African slaves of both genders. African slaves were given the name of their slaveholder, and it's been less than 80 years since women have had the right to vote, okay? Attitudes towards women certainly have an effect on people's willingness to physically harm them. What do you think about that, Saitu?
Wow, that's deep. Mm-hmm. How I feel about that? I just had to put my little comment on that, but that is, like, super, super deep. When you are thinking about folks nowadays, I mean, people are going to be who they are, like, regardless of what you think. But when you think about it, it all bows down to how you were raised, point blank. And not only that, but it could be, like, in a sense of insecurity problems within themselves, so they want to lift themselves higher. So they kind of use that to abuse those that, well, I don't know. I would say most of the time when like people are acting in those nature, they really don't abuse those that they should abuse. It's like they kind of abuse those that really love them, in a sense. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Basically, in a nutshell, they don't know how to love, so they act like a damn fool, and they want to turn it out as best they can. See, we talked about that earlier in the show. You're dealing with people who do not have the ability to function on an emotional and a social level and deal with the issues that will come out of a relationship. Basically, they've entered into a situation that they're not prepared to handle. So they strike out of anger rather than try to seek the help that they need. You know, that's a contrary, and that's a very conforming thing, because I'm going to say this to you. Just like medical attention, people know that black men are the ones that say, hey, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. More than anyone else that's out there. And what happens is, guess what? At the end of the day, you know, domestic violence is no different. People are out there that need help, and they don't want to ask for it because they don't think that they're sick. They think that, guess what, this is the way that it's supposed to be. See, in my mind, you got two types of abusers out there. You got those that just don't know better. It doesn't make it right because you don't know better. You just don't know damn better. This is what you saw your mama and your daddy doing, and this is the only way that you know how to resolve issues. And then you got the other kind of abuser, who I think is the worst and I think the most dangerous one, is the one who knows better, the one who knows that there's a better way, but he chooses to ignore that. He chooses to say, you know what, no, I just want to whip your ass because I just feel like it, or because I can. That, to me, is the worst kind of abuser, because that's the one that's going to kill you. That's the one that's going to stalk you. That's the one that you're going to have the hardest time trying to outthink and outsmart, because they know better. You follow what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
Oh, man, those are the ones that are killers, for real, be real with you. Those are the ones that are all around just stupid. I'm sorry, but they're just stupid. It's like, I don't mean like stupid in the sense of like dumb or nothing like that, but I'm just like stupid in the sense of they just don't act right, period. It's like they just disrespect anyone that is around you. They're constantly stalking you. Whenever they see somebody with you, they like call you, try to figure out what is going on, and they just try to make your life all miserable by just doing stupid stuff. Now, and not only that, but when those type of people are around you, really in a sense, and, like, often your family members would recognize it, and they would try to tell the individual about certain things, like maybe like their character and how that person is talking to you and how this person is doing this and doing that. But 9 times out of 10, Don, the victim never, ever sees the wrong in that person. And it's kind
That's
of
right.
it's so difficult, because it's like you really feel so sad for that person, and you know that person is going to get hurt, but that person is scared of who she is dealing with, but it's kind of embarrassing. I think the problem is it's kind of embarrassing to be in that type of situation. What you think?
Interesting. Very interesting. So it sounds to me like, in order to admit that there's something wrong going on, people may need to swallow their pride and say, you know what, I'm not gonna take this anymore. I'm not gonna let my pride dictate the fact that I'm gonna continue to sit up here and get my ass whooped. You know, and
exactly.
I agree with that. You know, on my shows, and no disrespect to any of my women out there. Yes, I'm teasing y'all in the chat room. I got 4 of them in there right now, say two, that's upset with me a little bit because I said women don't need to have the right to vote. And I was teasing y'all. Y'all know I love women to death, and I love y'all too. So don't jump on me too bad. But, you know what, here's the thing. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, I've always said on any of the shows that I do, and I will always continue to say, that the strongest thing going is the ego of a woman. Now, take that times whatever and put it in the wrong context. Now, used correctly, a woman will be the backbone of society. She is to be what the driving force is in our society. I truly believe that. But with that ego taken and placed in the wrong context, she becomes either a severely injured soul or she can become your worst enemy. Ooh, I said a mouthful. She can become your worst enemy because just as much as she was turned on to you, she can be turned off to you. And guess what? Now she knows your secrets. Now she knows those things about you, those things that won't hurt you, those things that won't harm you. So a woman's ego, fellas, is nothing to be played with. And for those women out there who are battered or who are being abused, you know, don't let your ego and your pride and your inability to have other people know what's going on with you stop you from getting help. You know, I've heard someone, no, I'm not digging a hole, Jam Time. I hear you. I see you up in there. I'm not digging a hole for myself. Y'all love me anyway. That's why y'all sitting out here with me on a Friday night. But you know what? I'm going to say this to you. Someone said to me once that they are a very private person. This was about a year and some change ago, and she has no need to put her business out there. But you know something? Let me tell y'all something. There's a difference between being a private person and crying for help in a situation where you need help. There's a major difference. Do not fool yourself into thinking that being a private person means that you can't ask for help. When lay your pride down, family. That's all I'm saying. What do you think about that, Satan?
He said, do not think of yourself as a private person to ask for help. Is that what you said?
That's right. That's right.
And you know what? You are absolutely right on that. And I've noticed, those abusers actually knows the type of women who to abuse to. When you really think about it, abusive men or women know who they can do it to. Because not all men or women can take that type of abuse. So if you are that type of shy person and you are with that type of angered type of man or women, you are going to be abused because, truthfully, I always used to tell him all the time, you really know who to do it to, because he knew, in a sense, that he couldn't do it to me, in a sense, if I was with him, because I have a mouth on me, in a crazy sense. But my sister was actually shy. She was very quiet. She was very respectful. She was just that type of calm and laid-back type of person. So when you really think about it, it's men like that really know who to do it to, because any other person or any other woman, they wouldn't be able to do that mess to for a long period of time, because eventually that woman would have been called the police on your ass, or she could have took a bat and beat your head in.
You heard that? You heard that, say too?
Yeah, I heard that.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
That's a shotgun. That's the shotgun. Because you know what?
Yeah.
That's what you need to get. That's the shotgun for him putting his hands on you. That's what I'm talking about. And you're right. You know, but I'm going to say this to you. You said something that was key that most women won't take much of that along for the long. Let me tell you something, ladies. The first time it happens, it should be the last time. You know, we had a caller that came on earlier, AJ, who said that it only took one time. And, you know, when it happened, she got the hell on. And that's the way it should be. Because I'm going to tell you something. My, this is something that my grandfather used to always tell me. If you find yourself in a situation when you're in a relationship dealing with a woman that you got to put your hands on that woman, you don't need that woman because that's not love. Let her go because you know what? If something's wrong with that picture. It's something wrong with you putting your hands on her, and it's something wrong with the fact that you are now in a situation with her that you feel like you have to do that. There's fault on all ends. Walk the hell away. I mean, it's really and truly that simple. But no, we gotta love each other. No, we gotta feel like no, I can't live without her. So that's when we get the shotguns out. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I sure do feel what you're saying. And that's what that nigga was talking about too, talking about I can't live without you type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see,
and,
when people...
and...
Go ahead, say two.
I was about to say that's that crazy talk right there, because 9 times out of 10 when a abusive person tell you, oh, I'm a kill you or I'm a hurt you or somebody in your family really, really bad, I would recommend you not take that lightly, because they are dead ass serious. I don't even care if they say, I don't care if they say, oh, I was just playing with y'all, just messing with you. No, he or she was not messing with your ass. They was dead ass serious.
Yes, it was.
You need to go ahead and get a restraining order on that person or something ASAP.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Here's something else for the family, something y'all don't know. 17% of American Indian and Alaska Native women were stalked in their lifetime, compared to 8.2% of white women, 6.5% of African American women, and 4.5% of Asian Pacific Islander women. So it seems as though the American Indian women and the Alaskan women are being stalked at an astronomical rate. Did anybody know that? I'm going to read those numbers again.
I never knew that.
I'm going to read those numbers again. 17% of American Indian and Alaska Native women are stalked in their lifetime, compared to 8.2% of white women, 6.5% of African-American women, and 4.5% of Asian and Pacific Islander women. That means that if you're Asian or from the Pacific Islands, you have a very slim to none chance, according to these statistics, of being stalked by someone in your lifetime. I don't know about y'all, but that kind of makes me want to check my gene pool.
Wow.
We got some comments in the blog room. Listen here. One lady said, AJ says that there's two types of women out there. There's your wildest fantasy and your worst nightmare. I agree with you. Jamtown still ride me, says she and I love, oh, yeah, I know you love me too. But here's something interesting. Lovely one says, love doesn't have shit to do with getting your ass beat. Okay. AJ, yeah, AJ, you know what? I'm going to respectfully agree with you. I'm going to agree. Love ain't got nothing to do with getting your ass beat. I agree with you. And somebody wants to know this about you, say too. They want to know if you are a beautiful butterfly.
Oh yeah, definitely. Of course, I'm gonna say that.
Yes. She says, yes, she is a beautiful butterfly. Here's something else for you, family. Women are more likely to be victims of sexual assault than men. All right, check this out. 78% of the victims, rape and sexual assault, are women, and 22% of them are men. That's right. Men are being sexually assaulted and raped. 22%, y'all. Y'all didn't know that, did you, that men can be raped. Most perpetrators of sexual violence are men. Mm-hmm. Among acts of sexual violence committed against women since the age of 18, 100% of rapes, that's 92% of physical assaults and 97% of stalking acts were perpetrated by men. Sexual violence against men is also mainly male violence. I'm going to say that one more time. Sexual violence against men is also mainly male violence. What they're saying is that most of the statistical information that shows that men are being sexually accosted are happening in relationships where men are dating men. Okay?
Ew.
That's right. 70% of rapes, 86% of physical assaults, and 65% of stalking acts were perpetrated by men. This is very interesting, ladies. And, you know, and I put these out there for those of you who feel as though it wouldn't happen to me. It shouldn't happen to me. You know, and here's something that's very interesting. And it's broken down by groups. African Americans, especially African American women, suffer deadly violence from family members at rates decidedly higher than those of other racial groups in the United States. It's obvious that research concerning family violence among African Americans is, to date, inadequate. Okay, inadequate is what they're saying. Check this out. Overall, African Americans are victimized by intimate partners or at significantly higher rates than persons of any other race. Black females, they're saying, experience intimate partner violence at a rate of 35% higher than that of white females and about 22 times the rate of women of other races. Black males, they're saying, experience intimate partner violence at a rate of 62% higher than that of white males, about 22%, you know, 22 times at a rate higher than that of men of other races. Family, what they're saying here is that African Americans tend to be more violent when it comes to intimate partnerships. What do you think about that, Saytu?
You said that they become more intimate? Is that what you're saying?
No, that they're saying that African Americans tend to be more violent when it comes to intimate relationships.
What? That don't even make any sense.
Well, they've got the numbers.
So you're telling me that we as African Americans are more violent when we are into more intimate relationships?
That's what the statistics
are. I don't see how.
I'll tell you how. And I'll just take the wool off of this one, family. What's happening here is that I believe that other races, other ethnic groups have the same types of issues that we have. But the problem is that in the African-American community, we tend to allow our problems to be handled by outside factions, such as the social systems that are in place. Now, white folks, they tend to get their issues resolved relatively quickly. They go to a therapist and get it looked at. Asians and Hispanic population, I tend to believe that they may not be as quick to report those incidents as we would be. And that's probably why that number is somewhat staggered, because they tend not to report as often as we do. Now, here's something about the Hispanic community. The rate of intimate partner violence for Hispanic women, like women of all races, peaked at ages 20 to 24. So it's happening to them at a young age. Overall, the victimization rates of Hispanic women peaked at lower levels than non-Hispanic women in every age group, but spread over a wide range of ages. According to the Texas Council on Family Violence, 77% of all Hispanic Texans indicate that either way, a family member or a friend have experienced some form of domestic violence, indicating that approximately 5.2 million Hispanic Texans are personally affected by the epidemic of domestic violence.
Wow.
Right? So some would ask, is this a legitimate issue? Some would ask, is this an issue of concern that needs to even be discussed? Some would argue yes, some would argue no. But what would you say, too? Would you say that this is definitely an issue in all communities?
Yeah, of course, because violence is basically everywhere. I don't even care if you consider your neighborhood as the most perfect neighborhood in the world. There is violence going on within that neighborhood. Whether or not that person talks about it or not, there is something going on within every single neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Jamtown in the chat room, the blog room, says that, yes, it's true that men won't go to the police for fear of being judged. And they're talking about, I'm assuming she's talking about the gay men.
Mm-hmm.
She also came back and said that sometimes men in gay relationships won't report rape because they haven't come out as of yet. They haven't come out as being gay. And she also said that the Asian and Hispanic community have great family support with them. Now, Jantown, are you saying that the African-American community does not have good good family support? I'm curious, Jam Time. I'm just, you know, not putting words in your mouth. I want you to be able to.
But you know what, Dawn? I would definitely think not, for real. To be real with you, I would honestly say no. I would honestly say no. As far as gay men, I would say no. I don't think there is enough supportive family members with with their family member as a male being gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, we were supposed to talk about chemical dependency as well, but you know what? We ran this one with domestic violence. And I'm going to tell you, it's well worth it because I really believe that, you know, information, this study that I'm using is broken down with immigrants all the way from South Asians to Koreans, domestic violence, Japanese, the Filipinos, Chinese, Cambodians. I've got statistics in front of me on all of these, okay, family, broken down by every ethnic group that exists within the United States of America. You understand? So we know what's going on according to what's been reported. And at the bottom of the list, in a random telephone survey with only 262 Chinese men and women in the Los Angeles area, 18.1% of those respondents reported experiencing minor physical violence by a spouse or intimate partner within their lifetime. So that leads me to believe that these things are going on, they're just not being reported, and we're just not hearing about it. And that's why the numbers are lopsided like they were, say, too, because blacks blacks followed closely by whites and then by Hispanics tend to contact the police more often than not when they have these types of issues. That's why those numbers are up there. And we also have some statistics on teens, too. So don't forget, for some of you out there who have sons and daughters out there who are getting into the dating world, listen, 18 to 24-year-olds comprise of only 11.7% of the population, all right? 11.7% of the population, but they are the majority of the victims of violence committed by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, 42%. They lead the pack. Our kids are abusing each other. What about your young daughters? What are we teaching them? And that's what the point of the matter is on that. Say, too, we got 3 minutes left in the show. I want to give you time to I want to give you a quick, you know, 15, 20 seconds to leave us with some final thoughts, and then I'm going to follow up with you. Go ahead, babe.
Okay. Well, what I would tell you guys definitely is to get out of all the bad situations. If you were getting beat on, I would recommend you get away ASAP because we don't want to see another dead body lying around because of some stupid person. Definitely, Don, I really do appreciate you for having me on my show. And for all you listeners out there, you can listen to me live every Thursday at 2 a.m. to Mixture Music of Art Show. All right?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Saytu, for calling in. All right, family, we talked about domestic violence tonight, and we were supposed to get on with the issue of chemical dependency. But since we ran it over, what we're going to do is, family, next week, when you come back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, we're going to really chop it up about chemical dependency because I think that chemical dependency does play a role in domestic violence. So in a sense, family, we're going to have a part two to this, but it's going to spill over into chemical dependency. Until then, family, I just want everybody to know one thing. When you know better, you cannot do worse. In other words, when you know better, you're supposed to do better. With that being said, y'all, I appreciate your time. I appreciate y'all being here with me tonight. And you know what? I'll talk to y'all Tuesday night. And on the way out the door, I want y'all to listen to my favorite.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch. Then fight.
power. Fight the power. We got to fight the power that beat. As the rhythm's the